Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, non-surgical cosmetic procedures, or tweakments as they have become known, have surged in demand in recent years. It can be difficult to know what exactly they do and what sets them apart. And here to tell us about what might be right for you and the ones maybe to sidestep is consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us. And as always, we invite questions to 51551 for text messages or todaycb at rte.ie for emails. Now, the first one I want to talk to you about is something that is big on social media at the moment, dermaplaning. Now, I can't look at some of the videos, but there are plenty of them out there showing this flat blade being used to remove the top layer of skin from your face. Am I right?
Yes, it does look like something out of the Godfellas movie or something, doesn't it? I've got a problem with dermaplaning, Claire, because, as you say, it's been heavily promoted online by influencers, etc., and beauticians, and really, it is just expensive shaving. So they're using this blade, and it just takes off all the fluffy lanugo hair, designed to actually keep us warm, on our face, and it exfoliates, takes off the dead layer of the skin at the same time. So the result is completely naked skin, which will, of course, reflect more light and look dewy and radiant, but it's very short-lived, and if you really want to do it, take a Gillette razor to your face, and I don't think any of us would do that willingly.
So you're going to get the same result.
Well, you are if you exfoliate, but I'm not saying doing that. Like, I am definitely saying do not go and shave your face, but that's what this is. This is just a razor, a blade, shaving off the dead layer and the fluffy skin. And I think it's a cod, a waste of money, and youngsters, again, are getting hooked on it because then the hair comes back and they're back to square one.
And some people who have a problem with hair on their face might see dermaplaning as a solution and go down that road. Now, what do you say to them?
Exactly. Well, I think that's a really good point. So there are two things. First of all, there are side effects in some people with dermaplaning. If somebody has oily, acne-prone skin, they're more likely to get breakouts, redness, and pigment, etc. But if somebody has excess hair, a female with hair on the face is a medical problem, especially if it's coarse, black, dark, it becoming in the bearded area, etc., growing in the bearded area. So they need medical attention. Sometimes it may be as simple as a cream called Vanika, which is simply a prescription cream, which I really think should be over the counter because it's so safe, that shortens the hair cycle. But also dermaplaning, if they're dermaplaning off hair, which should be lasered, they could be missing the opportunity to actually cure their problem permanently. Or indeed, it might be a reflection of a hormonal abnormality, such as polycystic ovary syndrome, which also should be investigated. So again, it's not a solution to a coarse hair problem.
Okay,
and I don't really agree with it as a cosmetic treatment.
And some people are not suitable, their skin or their hair colour, for laser treatment, but they can go down the electrolysis route.
Yes, and electrolysis is very old-fashioned and still plays a role, particularly for grey spiky hairs, blonde hairs, or pale red, where the pigment is not intense enough for the laser. Now, the current lasers will not see that pale hair in the skin, but mark my word, there will be something before long, because it is a billion-dollar industry, and as you know, money talks. So a lot of money is going into hair removal for these patients. My only caution with electrolysis, and there is definitely a role for it, is that I'm afraid electrolysis can also scar. So only go to somebody who is experienced and preferably recommended by somebody you know.
Now, microneedling, that's another one that has become quite popular. What's your take on that?
Well, I like microneedling, again, for the right case. I wouldn't be microneedling somebody who has an infection on the skin, who has very sensitive skin, who has rosacea, or who has dermatitis. But I think microneedling, you can either do it at home with very superficial microneedling devices, or you can go to the clinic whereby we'd put on local anesthetic cream and do very intense microneedling, whereby this will scare you. But we see blood after it. Now, the patient doesn't leave with blood, but it shows you we penetrate into the upper dermis layer, which is the collagen factory, and we can really improve scarring. It can be very painless if it's done with painkillers and local anesthetic cream. And I think it's very good. It can also be very good for melasma, which is pigmentation on the face, and indeed cosmetically for pores and fine lines. So I do like microneedling, Claire.
Okay, and there are so many of these non-surgical tweakments, as I said earlier, available now. It can be difficult for people, though, to know, Rosemary, what exactly each one does and what sets them apart and whether they're right for that person.
It can be almost impossible. We're being bombarded every day of the week with all sorts of weird stuff on social media that everybody must have. So I think you just have to educate yourself, and I would be a great believer in going by word of mouth. But again, as you've heard me say before, for example, facials. Some people love facials and they can be so relaxing, and as an anti-aging, they can be very nourishing. They can cause lymphatic drainage, so be an ideal red carpet treatment, make you look very good for, you know, a day or two, etc., etc. They won't get rid of broken blood vessels, pigmentation and fine lines. But facials can complement medical treatments, for example, for acne. So when I say facial, sometimes we'll refer people for what we call a back facial, where people have very, very glued-in comedones, i.e. blackheads, that are going to keep erupting into spots unless they are actually removed physically. And I think they really complement medical treatment. My only worry is when they are done instead of it. And sometimes people will bring their teenager to me, and they may have spent anything up to €1,000 in the previous year having facials and various treatments with the beautician when they actually did need medical intervention.
All right, so they might need a little more help before they get to that point. Now, let's get to the questions. So many of them, as always. Tara in Donegal would like to know, could you ask Rosemary about the safety of retinol when breastfeeding, please?
Retinol is, off the top of my head, and I always double-check breastfeeding every time, but retinol is usually not licensed for pregnancy. It's not licensed for pregnancy and breastfeeding. Now, we know that tiny amounts would pass into breast milk, and when what you buy across the counter in the pharmacy would be very low potency. But again, we would not advocate giving any active ingredients like that if somebody is breastfeeding.
Okay, so use caution, Tara, I think is the advice. Another one, yes. What can be done to minimise open pores? I suffer with blocked pores. I squeeze them now. My skin is ageing. It doesn't bounce back as it did when I was younger. I use a retinol at night.
Well, she's using the best treatment. So if she's using an over-the-counter or an online purchase, I would say go to her doctor and get a prescription-grade retinol. Retinols would be the number one best treatment for open pores and blackheads, but she could also complement it using other active ingredients such as glycolic acid, salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide, and they can all be purchased over the counter. When it comes to more invasive treatments, lasers such as the Resurfix or Fraxel, and indeed the aforementioned microneedling, and skin peels, glycolic peels, salicylic acid peels, they can all help. But it's important for people to remember, we have become a little bit of a pore-obsessed society, and people need to remember that the pores are actually structures in the skin, like pillars in a car park. You can't get rid of the structure, but by keeping it well cleaned out, and keeping the skin in between the pores plumped up and full of collagen, you can minimise the pores and make them look smaller.
Okay, so there are things you can do. Anya's bringing us back to our theme today because she says, I'm in my mid-60s and I keep myself well. However, I find in the last few years I've wrinkles when I smile, crepiness under my eyes with lines, also marionette lines at the side of my mouth. This is a common problem, says Anya, with lots of women, and she'd like to know, is there non-invasive treatments for these problems?
Well, first of all, start with retinols and the ingredients I just mentioned. They're all, the glycolics, they're very good for these. Tons and tons of sunblock, Claire. That would be the best anti-aging cream of all. And it depends on what you define as invasive. So to me, invasive is looking like, I better not mention her name or I could get sued, that star that was on the BAFTAs recently that everybody is still talking about.
Okay.
That's very invasive. But there are many lasers which are not invasive and will not distort or change the skin, but can help keep the skin youthful and slow down. We can't stop aging, but we can age more gracefully by working on the quality and texture of our skin.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask what treatment is available for a large jowl or double chin? Is there a non-surgical route for something like that?
Two treatments spring to mind depending on the shape of the jowl and the chin. And one would be cool sculpting, which can melt away the fat pad under the chin. And the other is a radiofrequency tightener called Ulthera, which can tighten the jowls. But if somebody has got a lot of tissue laxity, they will be a waste of money and they're better off looking at a facelift. So again, it depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm. I saw somebody on social media showing the after effects of chin liposuction.
Does
that work?
But that's just surgical. That's why I didn't mention that.
I know. I suppose maybe it's an alternative to a facelift if you didn't want to go down that route.
It certainly is, and a plastic surgeon would best advise you.
Okay. I still don't know what star Rosemary's talking about. I'm not going to ask you, but my mind is still going through them all. But we won't go there. Carmel would like to ask you about broken veins on the cheeks and around the nose area. I'm a 50-year-old woman with fair or sensitive skin. I'd like to have the redness reduced. Constant red flush, which is hard to mask with makeup. Could you please advise of a safe, non-invasive treatment, Rosemary?
Yes. Once it's done properly, IPL is extremely safe and non-invasive, as is the YAG laser or the pulse dye laser. I think that Carmel is suffering with rosacea, and especially with symptomatic flushing. So she may need medical treatment, because if rosacea goes unchecked, you get what's called angiogenesis, which is new blood vessel formation. So the blood vessels are just going to get worse and worse until the face gets redder and redder. So you have to stop the process that's causing them. Sometimes people think, oh, well, it's normal to have some blood vessels. It's not normal to have a red face and flushing in your 50s. And again, sunblock will prevent the rosacea getting worse if it's sun aggravated, but also it will present sun damage, which also causes broken blood vessels.
Okay, so
it's often genetic. One of her parents might well have eye colouring.
But she needs to get a diagnosis then before she goes down, say,
correct,
the IPL route. Is that what you're saying?
I would agree. Again, I'd say pop into the GP. And if her GP feels she needs medical treatment, they'll start that. Otherwise, if they feel that, no, this is simply broken blood vessels and no medical treatment needed, then, as you say, off you go with some IPL.
Okay, we have somebody who's wondering how to get a biopsy done quickly on a lump on the upper lip, which appeared about 4 weeks ago. Now, I know you're going to say go straight to your GP there and don't delay about it.
Go today.
All right, Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon. If you've any questions in the meantime for Rosemary, do get them into us today, cb@rte.ie, because she'll be back in a couple of weeks. But now that is all we have time for. Thank you very much for listening to the programme. It was produced by Niamh Lyons. Our researcher was Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator was Jarlath Holland. Kieran Cullen was on sound. And it's over now to Louise.